final passage reads, "On that fated land, a great war shall transpire." Darkness will prevail, and light expire. This world is full of light. It's a world comprised of many smaller worlds, all connected, stretching as far as the eye can see. One great light protects us all. All worlds share one light, one fate.
I take it you're talking about Kingdom Hearts.
Yep.
In ancient times, people believed that light was a gift from an unseen land. The name of Kingdom Hearts. But Kingdom Hearts was safeguarded by its counterpart, the Keyblade. Warriors vied for that precious light, thus beginning the Keyblade War. All of this was decided.
You really think you can change the future?
All of this was decided.
The truth is what you see with your eyes,
not what you hear.
Sounds like your trip around the world opened your eyes, but you got a little bit more than you anticipated.
You must have seen a lot of darkness.
So you're saying the weak feel the need to justify their actions to maintain a sense of self. Can't let that slide. I suppose letting false light dictate the future might be a pretty lousy move. So, you can make a change. You have that power. What do you want for the world? You believe the world needs you. Sounds like you already know where you're headed. If you truly possess great power, the darkness can't control you.
All of this was decided.
You really think you can change the future?
All of this was decided.
The truth is what you see with your eyes,
not what you hear.
All of this was decided.
Why not just sit back and watch it play out?
All of this was decided.
May your heart be your guiding key.
Who are you really? Some kind of fortune teller?
Well, I could lie, tell you that's what I am, when I'm actually a brilliant artist, even a scholar. I could tell you that I dream of world peace, when I'm actually planning for its destruction. The truth is what you see with your eyes,
not what you hear.
All of this was decided.
You really think you can change the future?
All of this was decided.
The truth is what you see with your eyes,
not what you hear.
All of this was decided.
Why not just sit back and watch it play out?
All of this was decided.
May your heart be your guiding key. Your guiding key.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Landy Lodge. It's been a little while. For those of you who didn't know, last week at my job was basically hell week. It involved me doing a lot of travel, working a lot of hours, and I got sick. So I wanted to do a podcast this past Sunday, but I needed the rest. So if you hear a little stuffiness in my voice, you hear a something's a little bit off. I'm still recovering, but I feel good enough to do one of these. And today, before we move forward, we gotta thank the amazing Sages of the Lodge, those who are YouTube channel members or donate directly monthly. Couldn't do it without them. Love their support. And today we are talking about Strelitzia, who has come up a lot on this podcast lately, whether it's the Marluxia episode, whether it's the Larxene episode. But hey, there's plenty to talk about. And joining us today, Joining us today to discuss Strelitzia is none other than Empowered Muse, who is in the lodge today. Em, how are you doing? Thank you for joining us. Thank you for doing this. How's it going? Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure. You know, we'd had this planned for a while now, and I remember you brought up wanting to discuss Strelitzia. And before we get into that, you've recently put out a really good video on YouTube that I think everybody should check out. I'll drop that link in the description. Make sure you bookmark it, everybody. But before we get into that, I have to ask you a very routine question here at the Lodge. So why Kingdom Hearts? So many series out there, so many franchises. We were talking to the pre-roll. You're a big anime fan. What brought you to Kingdom Hearts? Why did you choose Kingdom Hearts to be a series of all series to discuss? Oh, hold on one second. They can't hear you, but they can definitely hear you now.
Okay. So I've actually been playing Kingdom Hearts since it first came out when I was 8 years old. You know, back then I was kind of limited to like two consoles, so a little bit limited, but you know, been following the story growing up with it. And so when Kingdom Hearts 3 was finally, you know, about to release, I figured this was my chance to really dive back into the series and you know, go through the all-in-one, or actually it was the story so far package. So go through that, like literally replay everything so I can like fully understand the story. And it was actually interesting. I started streaming kind of during the pandemic because, you know, we were all at home bored. And I had wanted to start a YouTube channel. I didn't know what about. And so I honestly thought I missed the Kingdom Hearts hype train and being a Kingdom Hearts creator, because when I started streaming and all of that, Kingdom Hearts 3 had already released. I could have always like dived in, but it was kind of like that whole feeling of like maybe I missed my chance. So when the Kingdom Hearts 4 trailer released last year during the 20th anniversary special, one, I wasn't following it too closely, so I was like really surprised to see a Kingdom Hearts 4 like released so soon, but I just jumped on the opportunity. I was like, I finally have the means and the bandwidth to really talk about a series that I love so much, and that has like been like very close to me for most of my life now.
Yeah, you know, I can echo that sentiment. Kingdom Hearts has been very close to me for all my life. It's something that dropped when I was a kid, something I've carried with me into adulthood. But, you know, that out of the way, we are talking Strelitzia today. Obviously, a lot of Strelitzia is going to lead us into speculation. Who knows how much of it comes to pass? But you recently put out a video about her, basically titled, "The Strelitzia We See in Kingdom Hearts 4 is Not the Original Strelitzia." Would you mind maybe expanding on that a little bit?
Yeah, so, you know, I've been thinking about that theory for a little bit now, and it just really kind of stuck with me that, you know, we meet Strelitzia in Kingdom Hearts Union Cross, we get her for, like, what, two or three scenes, and then she's, like, killed off. And then we see Lushu place her in one of the timeline arcs to travel, or we're assuming it's her, because it's the same figure wearing the white robe. And that was the last we hear. Like, we don't really see her anymore except for like a little Easter egg, if you will, in a Chain of Memories, you know, it being the shield that was over Marluxia in that final boss fight. But, you know, that was pretty much the last we saw Strelitzia, and then she like randomly appeared in the Kingdom Hearts 4 trailer. And, you know, I was thinking about this and kind of tying it because, you know, something tells me that this whole thing of the realm of unreality and Quadratum, I feel like that it was either a testing site for the Master of Masters, or there may be more than one Quadratum. Like, the Master of Masters might have set up a data Quadratum, kind of like he did with the Data Daybreak Town. So that's also kind of a theory that was going through my mind as well. So seeing Strelitzia appear, like, logically, it just didn't really make sense. And so that's where I kind of like just went to the theory of like, I think Strelitz is a replica. I think she's like, she's either made of Theta or she was like a test replica for whatever the Master of Masters has up his sleeve in this new realm. So that's kind of where I went with the theory. Then I believe that, you know, especially because we saw Strelitz get murdered, we saw her heart float away in that scene. So it was kind of that question of like, how did she reappear? Granted, she is a dandelion and she was slated to be one of the union leaders. So it's also very possible she could hold some special power. But just thinking kind of logically, it just, what, like, how did she reappear? So that's kind of the theory I was working with and how I came to the Strelitzia might be this might be the data version of Strelitzia. This might not even be the real Strelitzia. Based off of what the Master of Masters might be working on. And someone actually pointed out in the comments of the video, which was very astute. And looking back, I was like, oh, that is a good point, that Strelitzia and Kingdom Hearts Union Cross wore a necklace. But the Strelitzia we see in the Kingdom Hearts 4 trailer didn't have the same necklace on. So that might be a clue or a hint. It might be, you know, a design choice. Maybe the devs didn't find the time to make it fit in the trailer, but it seemed very intentional that she didn't have that necklace on. So that might be a hint that further plays into this might not even be the real Strelitzia that we see, which I'm very interested to see since Lorium has now been recompleted, how that will actually affect him going forward, because I'm like pretty certain we're gonna see him pretty soon in the Lost Master arc, if not in Kingdom Hearts 4.
Yeah, you know, there's a, like, as you're pointing out, there's a lot of red flags flowing around Strelitzia that don't make a whole lot of sense. So naturally, our brains try to plug A and B together. You know, one thing that kind of paints into your theory a little bit is she has to be working with somebody, right? There's no way Strelitzia has the resources, whether this is a Strelitzia, Data Strelitzia, whatever it may be. There's no way she has the resources and know-how to know who Sora is, where to find him, where to pick him up, that he's worth protecting. You know, it almost begs the question of who is she talking to? Who is she working in tandem with that let her know that Sora is a person of importance and is somebody who needs to be sheltered, protected while he slept, you know? And, you know, to go a little further into the whole idea that there's something off about her. This is something that's come up in previous episodes, is if you look at the Kingdom Hearts 4 key artwork that Nomura put out, Strelitzia is the only one sleeping.
Yeah.
And, you know, normally things like that aren't an accident. When Nomura does something like that, it's pretty deliberate. So it makes you wonder what could be going on there. And to go into the whole, like, there's a design difference between the two, like she's missing the necklace. Again, that's something that's pretty deliberate between the two. When, you know, I don't think her outfit is all around the same. I'm pretty sure there's other differences to the outfit. Like, I think the stockings might be a little different, but the necklace really does stand out. And again, everything going on with, you know, Lorium being recompleted, he's probably headed for Quadratum. You know, you almost wonder if Strelitzia is a way for the Master to bait the dandelions into Quadratum. You know, that's something that I've always wondered, is like, is this bait? Is Strelitzia bait for Lorium to come over, Elraina to come over? You know, those are the things that kind of spin around my mind.
Yeah, I think that could also be like a very plausible theory, especially because we don't quite know what the Master is planning to do with Quadratum. We just know that he wanted to go to a world, escape to a world that had held neither light or darkness. However, we've since seen the Kingdom Hearts 4 trailer that darkness is in fact there. A whole dark side appeared. So at that point, he may have something up his sleeve where he's trying to recall not only the foretellers, but the union leaders and the dandelions who are still here. And then another theory that was in the video, kind of going along with the, is this even like a real Quadratum or is this a data version? there seems to be maybe an unintended consequence, since the Book of Prophecies, as far as we know to this point, has been finished. So maybe there may be an unintended consequence where we have our people from the Realm of Light come into Quadratum, but at what cost? There's a reason that the Nameless Star isn't able to return to Quadratum, because her heart would be stolen. So if that is the case, that those who are trying to return to Quadratum or those who are already in Quadratum are at risk of losing their hearts, then there may be a, whether you want to call it like a singularity, a conflict, a consequence, a trade-off, that might happen if someone from the Realm of Light does in fact come into Quadratum, and you know, after a certain time they're just there. So that's something that, like, you know, I feel like that particular part might be explored a little further down the line in the Lost Master arc, not necessarily Kingdom Hearts 4, but I am interested to see, like, someone somewhere is gonna find that issue and address it, I'm sure.
Well, let me pick your brain a little bit. Do you think Strelitzia might already be a victim to that? That maybe this Strelitzia isn't even her at all? Maybe her heart and body have been stolen, and this could be somebody else? Or, you know, we've seen in Union Cross, Ava has the ability to shapeshift. Maybe this is a shapeshifting Ava. What reason she would have for turning into Strelitzia, I don't know. But you raise a good point that, you know, those who are in Quadratum, they kind of run that risk of, you know, their hard body being stolen, or rather their bodies being replaced with somebody else's heart. Do you think that Strelitzia is running that risk, or maybe that could be what's going on here?
I definitely think that, I mean, it's definitely not out of the realm of possibility, especially because, like you mentioned this before, she, you know, walks up to Sora and, you know, she seems to be like just very go with the flow here. Mm-hmm. And very accepting that, like, oh, this is basically our afterlife or purgatory. So I think it's really interesting that she's very conscious and aware of this, and hasn't really seemed to question it. I also think that your theory of maybe the Strelitzia we see in the trailer may possibly be being a shape-shifting Ava, like, I think that that could also be a very possible outcome, just because we still don't know what happened to Ava. Mm-hmm. We just know that she apparently did fulfill her role according to Lushu. And, you know, whatever he told the other foretellers in the epilogue, we still aren't quite sure what happened there. So mm-hmm. Now the more I think about it and the more I've thought about it over time, is like, I actually don't think Ava, like, lived out her life and, you know, just didn't reappear, because all the other foretellers had the ability to come back. So Ava should have had that same ability. I think she's doing something else.
Do you think she might be in Quadratum? Because I feel like that would kind of make sense why she wasn't able to be brought back. You know, kind of the same mm-hmm. way in Melody of Memory, when Sora reappears and Xehanort's like, oh, your voice can't reach us here. Now I'm certain to where your heart is. You know, there seems to be this block between unreality and reality, where some of the sort of power of waking or time travel stuff isn't as effective. Like, there seems to be like a filter there. Maybe Ava is in Quadratum, because remember, her role was for the dandelions and her to fly off to another world. And with Strelitzia being potentially, as you brought up earlier in the episode, the true dandelion, with her already being in Quadratum, you know, maybe that's where Ava's destination for everybody is. And maybe it's not the master who's baiting the dandelions with Strelitzia, but maybe it's Ava who's trying to get Lorium and Elrena over to the other side. Like, hey, Strelitzia's here. You got to make your way here. And who knows if that's what Sora's part in all this is too.
I can definitely see Master Ava kind of being the one who is pulling all the strings to get the dandelions there and actually being in Quadratum. That would actually make a little bit of sense, because, you know, it would feel kind of off for Strelitzia to maybe, like, understand or follow the Master of Masters, or even Lushu at that point, because she, it's not like she came across them. Even if we're working off of her memories, it's not like she came across them when she was alive in Kingdom Hearts Union Cross. So if Master Ava is in fact in Quadratum, I could definitely see Strelitzia being more reasonable and calm about it and not really, you know, bucking against what Master Ava might request of her as far as pulling the dandelions in and maybe watching over Sora. So, but I also was thinking, if you remember in that same artwork that we were talking about earlier, the foretellers, all the foretellers are turned in different directions. So if I remember, the foretellers who were turned farthest away from the center point where the Master of Masters stood, those foretellers were Lushu and Ava respectively. So there is another kind of theory going around, and I think I had talked about it before in another video, that maybe those are the foretellers who, they're not necessarily just outright disobeying or going against what the Master of Masters is doing, but they're kind of going their own way about it. Because they might be the ones that have the most friction with them, or the most disagreement about what the Master of Masters might be planning for Quadratum. So, but Ava being in Quadratum, I think is actually, I definitely wouldn't be surprised if that turned out to be the case. I can see her working kind of counter to what the Master of Masters is doing, whether it be for better or for worse. But I can definitely see her being there.
Yeah, I could see her being there. And again, knowing that she had, you know, such a role with the dandelions themselves, and Strelitzia being labeled potentially true dandelion, you know, it's, you know, I can't get that line from the Master's head out of my head either. The let them fly off to another world. I mean, mm-hmm. I feel like nobody has embodied that more than Strelitzia. And maybe that is what qualifies her to be the true dandelion, is her sort of like, what do you call those things that, like, when you blow a dandelion and they fly off? Seeds? Those technically seeds? Yeah. Well, her seed went further than anybody's from what it looks like, you know? So, oh, man. It's stuff like this that gets my head turning. But, you know, I've speculated whether or not Ava could be waiting for us in Missing Link. The more I've thought about that, the more I'm starting to think no, because we know Lushu is there. And I don't think another encounter with Lushu and Ava would be a friendly one. So I imagine the two of them are probably in two separate places. And again, would maybe explain why Lushu wasn't able to bring her back at the end of Kingdom Hearts 3. Like, Gula even says, is that why you chose to exclude her? And he's like, as if, like, almost as if to say, like, well, if I could have brought her here, I would have. But he's like, she had her own mission. She carried it out. Which, again, just brings me back to Strelitzia being in Quadratum. But my next question for her, at least something that kind of irks me in that trailer, is why wasn't she fighting alongside Sora, you know?
Yeah, that was something I had kind of clued in on as well. I think in the video it was like, either the development team wanted to take it slow with showing what all Strelitzia could do and not wanting to reveal too much, especially in the first trailer, or that kind of lends back to, maybe Strelitzia isn't, like, maybe this is the data version of Strelitzia that we're getting. Maybe this is simply a replica working off of memories. She would have remembered, she would have remembered how to wield a Keyblade. So in theory, she could potentially help Sora in the future that we see in Kingdom Hearts 4 while they're in Quadratum. But there might have been something missing there she may have trouble remembering exactly, you know, who she was in her previous life as
a
dandelion.
Good point. I never even considered that she might be having some memory problems too.
Yeah, because kind of thinking about it, when you look back at Kingdom Hearts Remind, for example, Roxas was someone who was kind of always there, just within Sora, when he rejoined, and they had the replica ready. They had the memories because they had, because Sora was there to basically hold Roxas, but he needed something else to kind of like bring him back. And same thing with Shion. While they did recreate her using the replica program, it wasn't really Shion until like basically her heart crossed paths with Sora's. And Roxas is in that same vein. And that scene where they reclaim the sigil to remember who they were, kind of like recompleted them in a sense. So it might be something kind of similar for Strelitzia. Maybe like that part of her being in the Dandelions in Daybreak Town is a little foggy, and that's why she hasn't been able to like reclaim her Keyblade. And that's why we haven't seen her fight yet. But it just might be, it's not quite there yet. Or especially if she's a replica, it just might not be quite there yet as far as her memories and that connection, that key connection she would need. Although I would suspect that Lorium returning and being in Quadratum might be what she needed to trigger that.
Well, I thought it would be interesting, right? And, you know, some creator named Vian did a great video kind of pointing out the similarities between Strelitzia and Naminé.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it would be interesting if, you know, like you were bringing up with the replica program, if Lorium hunts down the Radiant Garden Gang and he's like, hey, I want to recomplete my dead sister. But then it just doesn't work in the way it did Roxas and Shion, because Roxas and Shion were on our side of existence. And then maybe they try to make it work in the same way. And they're like, hey, it's not working. You know, maybe things don't work that way when she's on the other side. So, you know, again, giving Lorium a reason to maybe want to go to Unreality in the same way Riku did. I'm sure Fairy Godmother would probably work with him on that. But, you know, it makes me think if Strelitzia's role will be similar to Naminé's in a way, that she's going to maybe work behind the scenes, like whether this is the real Strelitzia we're seeing or not. Because we've seen she has a way to communicate through dreams. You know, we see it with Lorium in Union Cross. So we have to wonder if that's going to maybe be her role. Maybe the Quadratum they're in is a dream realm, and that's why she's able to sort of manifest herself. Who knows? But, you know, as even though she is capable of wielding that Keyblade, I almost wonder if she's being set up to almost be like this arc's Naminé. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can definitely see that, especially if Quadratum, or the version there that we currently see, is more so of a sleeping realm. Then, you know, maybe Strelitzia's role is more so to be that guide in the sleeping realm, kind of like Naminé was with memory. So, rather than having Strelitzia as a Keyblade wielder, at least like for right now, she might just might more so just be in the background, like you said, and being that guide. Especially if, you know, if there's more than one Quadratum, or if this Quadratum that we're currently seeing is part of the sleeping realm.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is we don't really know. You know, the idea that there's two Quadratums is one I've seen a lot of people play with. You know, because we have the Quadratum that Sora is in, and then we have a Quadratum that we see Riku in. If you look at the first Kingdom Hearts 3 secret movie, and they almost seem like two different Quadratums. Not to mention that Yuzora and Sora do battle in like a dream Quadratum.
Right.
There's just so much that we still don't know about that realm and how it works. If it's a place without light and dark, can it have a dream version? Can it have a data version? You know, things like that are still here to be answered. But, you know, with the Master of Masters being in Quadratum and Strelitzia being there, you know, it kind of makes you wonder if there are these two, you know, for lack of a better term, warring factions going on. You know, because we see the Master isn't alone. He kind of has a number two. We still don't know who that number two is, but he's kind of sitting with a number two. And I played with the idea that Strelitzia could be in a similar sort of paradigm. You know, we talked about maybe it's Ava, maybe it could be Sigurd from Missing Link. But, you know, I almost feel like when it comes to Strelitzia, it's weird, right? We were talking about this a little bit in the pre-roll that, you know, Quadratum is supposed to be like this afterlife.
Right.
But Sora and Strelitzia got to the same place through different means. Like, Strelitzia didn't commit a nature taboo. She was actually struck down. And then Sora committed this nature taboo and kind of vanished. And all the while, Strelitzia seems to have maintained her age. And I know every world is on a different time axis and things like that. But, like, theoretically, Strelitzia was murdered, like, 1,000 years before Sora died. You know,
right.
Which kind of pays into your idea that, like, something's going on here. This could be a Data Strelitzia, or maybe people in Quadratum don't age because it's an afterlife. And maybe you just maintain the age you were when you died. You know, do you have any thoughts about that?
I was actually thinking, like, for all intents and purposes, logically, if we follow the Kingdom Hearts logic, Strelitzia should have ended up in the final world, as opposed to Quadratum.
Mm.
So her being in Quadratum, like, it makes a little bit more sense that Sora's in Quadratum because of him breaking the nature taboo. And it's like, you know, when we first saw that, we were like, oh, this is Sora's punishment because he used the power of waking too many times and had to be basically banished to the realm of unreality. But Strelitzia being there doesn't make that same sense because, like you said, she was literally struck down. So her heart should have gone to the final world, where other Keyblade wielders have gone. Even like we've seen in Kingdom Hearts Dark Road, when the upperclassmen was struck down, they said they woke up in a world of ocean and sky, which was the final world. So it is very curious why Strelitzia ended up in Quadratum, if that is in fact the real Strelitzia. Why she ended up in Quadratum as opposed to the final world, despite Lushu placing her body in the timeline arc. Her body would have made it to the arc, but her heart should have been in the final world. So that's why that kind of goes back to the theory of, like, this is, I feel like this is just a replica or a data version of Strelitzia, because following the Kingdom Hearts logic, that should have been the natural path for her to go to the final world and not Quadratum. And for her to actually end up in Quadratum through the timeline arc is also very curious. Because we all saw in Kingdom Hearts Union Cross, the other Union leaders and Dandelions ended up still in the realm of light, but just in different worlds and at different points of time. But they were all still in the realm of light. Nobody ended up in the realm of darkness or in Quadratum except for Strelitzia. So there's something just, like, kind of fishy there going on. But yeah, that was very much another thing that I was thinking about. Was like, so if she in fact was struck down, which she was, we all saw it, then it would make sense for her to end up in the final world. But we see her walking and talking in Quadratum, so.
And it almost makes me wonder, you know, Lushu is obviously out here playing 4D chess. You know, he puts the body in the arc. Maybe it ends up in Quadratum. Maybe it ends up somewhere else. Do you think maybe somebody made their way to the final world and sort of put two and two together and had a way of sending Strelitzia to her lifeless body, wherever it ended up? Or do you think somebody in Quadratum, maybe Ava, was able to pull Strelitzia back over because, you know, maybe the body landed in Quadratum from the Ark. Ava found it. She still has memories of her. She's in the final world. Maybe she's able to make that sort of transfer of power that we kind of see Riku and the Fairy Godmother do at the end of Melody of Memory.
Yeah, so, you know, we saw at the end of Melody of Memory, it's actually fairly easy to go from the final world to Quadratum. All you need is basically a portal. Mm-hmm. So if there is a way for Ava to either use somebody in the final world or use herself as a portal from the final world to Quadratum, then it would make sense for her to pull those memories and possibly pull Strelitzia's heart from the final world. So it's one of those things, definitely not out of the realm of possibility, especially for someone like Master Ava, who has that ancient Keyblade power. But it's just one of those things that is just kind of interesting. It's like, I feel like we could definitely rabbit hole down this path, like for hours on end, and just try to figure out how exactly can you get someone in a realm of unreality outside of breaking nature taboos. But I do think that using someone as a portal seems to be very vital. Someone who's willing to be a portal into Quadratum. So that was probably the easiest explanation of, you know, if Master Ava was involved, or even Lushu was involved in that they could have pulled Strelitzia's heart in order to, in a sense, recomplete her. But yeah, it's just one of those things. It's like, it's very curious. It's there's so many branches that we could see how she in fact got into Quadratum.
Well, that's what makes Strelitzia so interesting to talk about, is like almost nothing about her in that Kingdom Hearts 4 trailer makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, how did she get there? Why is she in the same place as Sora? You know, it's just like, there's so much for them to explain about the two of them. Particularly, you know, again, how Strelitzia would even know who Sora is. But, you know, her being there kind of does go against all of that, you know? Especially when you consider, like, usually when, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, usually when someone dies in Kingdom Hearts, there's no body left. Like, Ericus kind of poofed, you know? Yeah. Xehanort and Ericus at the end of Kingdom Hearts 3 sort of poofed. Like, everyone kind of just poofs out of existence. Even the freaking poor guy we see die in Traverse Town, like, he poofs. So, like, so why didn't Strelitzia poof? Unless maybe Lushu committed a nature taboo to bring her body back or something? Like, that's something that throws me, too. I'm like, if Strelitzia was struck down, then could it be her body that's the true dandelion? Or maybe someone else is the true dandelion? I don't know. You know, that's something that throws me for a loop.
Yeah, because technically she did poof when she was first struck down. We saw her poof. She and poofed. We saw her heart. Yeah. And we saw her heart, you know, kind of like fade out the door. So she technically did poof. Now, whether or not Lushu was the one that was seen, kind of, it looked like, guiding her body back to the arcs. So if Lushu committed a nature taboo and brought her body back but couldn't fully bring her back, that probably is what happened, that Lushu was able to bring her form back but not necessarily the full Strelitzia back, like Sora was able to with the other Guardians of Light. Maybe he waited a little bit too long and the Lich possibly already got her heart, or that's the prevailing theory I'm going to go with now. Like, maybe because when Sora did it, it was immediate, but with Lushu, it probably took a little more time, especially when Master Ava was still kind of hanging around and saw what happened, or, you know, if they still weren't on speaking terms, then Lushu was hanging around and saw what happened, and just couldn't quite get to her in time before the Lich maybe got her heart, but was able to at least recover her body and place it on the timeline arc. But I mean, it's still, and it very well could be somebody else, which would be a wild revelation if somebody else's body was placed on the arc. But everything, all the scenes in Union Cross tend to point to that Strelitzia's body. So like, I know for me, I'm like working with, that's more likely Strelitzia's body we see Lushu place. But yeah,
you know, that is still my prevailing theory, that the true dandelion could be, I mean, more than likely is Strelitzia. Again, how we get from A to B, from her poofing upon being defeated to her body being able to put through an arc again, especially when you consider too, like, isn't it isn't it the heart that travels through the arc primarily?
Yes, yeah, it's the heart that travels through the arc primarily, and you form into yourself once again through a medium and a memory. But
so that it's not just her body that would need to be back. It would have to be the heart as well, right? Well, this is why if it were to be anybody else, I feel like when I'm speaking of the true Dandelion, if it's not Strelitzia, I feel like it would have to be Ava.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe Lushu won that battle with Ava, knocked her out, put her in the arc. That sends her to Quadratum. And then maybe from Quadratum, she finds a way to pull Strelitzia through because she's actually dead and in the final world. Whereas like Lorium and Elraina and Skuld, you know, who knows where Brain is?
Right.
You know, we'll find out in Missing Link. But like Lorium, Elraina, and Skuld, they're on this other side of reality and Ava can't reach them. But maybe because Strelitzia was in the final world, you know, let's just say maybe that's where she went when she died. Maybe because of that reason, Ava was able to pull her over.
Yeah, I actually like that theory of maybe Ava is actually the true Dandelion, because like you said, if Strelitzia's body technically wasn't recovered, we just see somebody in a white robe.
Mm-hmm.
So that white robe could have been a red herring, and because we saw Strelitzia in Lorium's dream, we just associate the white robe with Strelitzia, but it actually could have been Master Ava. But I was curious on what you thought of Skuld, because she's another person who we haven't heard from. We didn't see her arc, where her arc landed. We saw somebody look like her, who ended up being Xehanort's mother. Well, according to the taller Xehanort. But we saw someone who looked like her in Kingdom Hearts Dark Road and at the end of Union Cross with the infant Xehanort. But, you know, the most popular theory out there right now is that Skuld is, in fact, Subject X. And that in the secret, and some secret reports, or the secret reports, Subject X have referenced a man with an eye patch for sure. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if she said anything about a ponytail, but a man with an eye patch coming to get her. So it looks like Lushu retrieved whoever Subject X was. And because the prevailing theory out there is that Skuld is in fact Subject X and was being experimented on. And then when Ansem the Wise stopped the experience, Lushu came and got her before anybody else could see her. And maybe she's hiding somewhere in Quadratum as well. Or maybe she's hiding somewhere else, but we don't know. We don't quite know where Lushu placed her. If it is in fact Skuld, I'm leaning towards Skuld, but
we don't know.
Yeah. But I think Skuld's another outlier of basically where is she?
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll probably get that answer. I know that you know, Director Nomura hinted at that we'll probably learn more about her in Missing Link, but we'll probably get like more answers about her whereabouts. Like specifically within the Lost Master arc, if not in Kingdom Hearts 4. Mm-hmm. But right now I'm just wondering, is like, is there a holding cell like that exists that where all the Dandelions are gonna end up in Quadratum, somewhere in Quadratum?
I am a firm believer that every Dandelion will end up in Quadratum. I think that's the plan, and I think I'm gonna touch on a lot of what you went over, but the whole white robe thing. I think that's actually going to be like the Dandelion official robe, maybe in like a Quadratum setting, because, you know, the organization's in the black coat. Now you have the Master of Masters in the black coat, and whoever his like number two is in that trailer's in the black coat. I almost feel like the Dandelion's like official coat's going to be this white one. So anyone who's a Dandelion could wear that coat. As for Skuld, I think Skuld is sort of if I were to take my best like Kingdom Hearts guess, I think she's a walking time paradox, because I think she's Xehanort's ancestor, obviously, right? Because we see Xehanort's mom looks like her. So I think she is Xehanort's ancestor. But you have to ask yourself, in the secret reports, it mentions she's like a young 15-year-old girl. So it's like, if she's here at 15, then she didn't have children that ended up being Xehanort's mom. That doesn't make sense. I think that when Lushu hid her, he sent her through time, or maybe not intentionally, or some way, somehow, I think when he hid Skuld, he sends her back in time where she lives out her life, grows up, has kids. One of them ends up being Xehanort's mom. And I think this explains why Xehanort was so fascinated with Subject X, because he was able to see, like, this is connected to my mom. This is connected to my mother. And, like, I wouldn't be saying that if they didn't deliberately hammer on that at the end of Dark Road, where the player is holding baby Xehanort and he brings up his mom and he's like, oh, you wish to see her? And he's like, of course, she's my mom. You know, so there's this underlying, like, desire within Xehanort to see his mom again. And I think that's why he kind of lost his mind about Subject X, because he knew this is a connection. This is a connection back to my mother. But again, we have to ask, how could a 15-year-old girl be a connection to his mother? You know, like, unless somehow, some way, that 15-year-old girl gets sent back through time. You know, that's kind of just my little theory on that.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense, because, you know, after Lushu kind of took off with Subject X and we hear nothing else about her, it's kind of like, you would think she would have shown up at some point, either in the epilogue or secret movie or something, from those secret reports. But that theory that you have, where he probably sent her back through time, whether it was intentional or unintentional, it would make more sense, because, like you said, why is this? We kind of have this open point now that, okay, Skuld is related to Xehanort because one of her descendants ended up being Xehanort's mom and looked so much, bore a striking resemblance to her that, you know, at first a lot of people thought that Skuld wasn't Xehanort's. Yeah. But that being a descendant of hers, and maybe why young Xehanort, while he was working in Ansem's lab, why he was just so, like you said, so fixated on Subject X and on those experiments, because it just had that close tie to him. And maybe he couldn't necessarily recollect, like, everything, but it was just something that he probably just harped on about until she disappeared.
And I feel like this would explain why Ansem the Wise was so terrified, because when he looked into Subject X, he saw something that was just, like, made him want to cease all experiments. And, like, let's be honest, Ansem the Wise was not above experimenting on children. So, it's not, you know, it's not like he was like, oh, this is a young girl, cease all experiments. Like, he saw something wild that, you know, kind of spooked him. And again, like, maybe this can help explain the way Strelitzia was able to maintain her age through all this time. And, you know, for who knows? Okay, here's an idea. What if Subject... No. I was going to say, what if Subject X is Strelitzia? But that's not it, because they mentioned the dark hair. Right, yeah. So that can't be it. But, you know, it's just wild to me, man. Now that, like, Quadratum is in play, it just opens up all these possibilities where it's like time can stand still to the point you don't age. Time travel could get involved because everyone's on a different time axis. Like, for all we know, like, 1 year in Quadratum could be a week in reality. Just things like that kind of blow open the door. You know, we talked about this. I do think all the dandelions are kind of being brought to Quadratum for whatever purpose. Again, the master told Ava, fly them off to another world. To me, that doesn't mean fly them off to Atlantica. You know, like, they're from a time where all those worlds are connected and are one. So it's like, what could that possibly be alluding to other than Ava taking all the dandelions to this other place? This whole other reality in general. And, you know, Ava mentioned something during that speech where, and she says it, like, very quietly too. She says, like, even if it's a world made of dreams or something like that. And again, there's not a whole lot to play off of that. But again, I think seeing Strelitzia in Quadratum is sort of just like, it's sort of the beginning, right?
Yeah.
He's like, she's the first, but she won't be the last.
And I think also with the Master's just like so hell-bent on like having this world where neither light or darkness can reach,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that was maybe something that was to read it in between the lines when he was giving Master Ava her role, basically. And kind of like you said, like, the point wasn't to fly the dandelions to like the worlds we've already seen so far, because honestly, it wouldn't make too much sense. The Master of Masters, because of what he had gone through and endured throughout his life, wanted to go to another realm, not just another world, but to another realm and just like start all over if he could. Based on, you know, everything he had lost as a kid to darkness. So this whole world of Quadratum, I feel like, or the realm of Quadratum, it feels like this might be a new playing field for him where mm-hmm. he's trying to have the upper hand against that ongoing battle of darkness, and having the dandelions there, you know, the way he's orchestrating this and staying like so many steps ahead, he's like, you know, 80 some odd steps ahead of everybody else. It makes sense that he might have planned for the dandelions to like end up in Quadratum, so that the power of light basically is so much that light will, in fact, is basically ensured to survive, even in a world that isn't really supposed to have light nor darkness. But this is basically a new playing field, I feel like, for the Master of Masters, where he basically wants to have the upper hand in this time.
Yeah, he's, again, if Lucius, I saw somebody in the chat said this, so we'll get to the chat in a moment, everybody. We're coming up on the hour mark. But I saw somebody say something like, if Lucius playing 4D chess, then the Master's playing 8D chess, which, yes. You know, more than likely is true. And again, like, he's trying to get the upper hand on darkness, which would explain like a world neither of light or dark would be of particular interest to him. But it would also make me, and it would make sense why he wants the dandelions there. If he's looking for vessels of darkness, the dandelions in a lot of way are sort of his chosen among the foretellers too. Like, here are these strong hearts of light that could be vessels for it. But as we're coming up on the 1 hour mark, I did want to ask, you know, you mentioned that we did see Strelitzia in Union Cross. We didn't get a whole lot of her, but a part of her character was sort of this longing to meet the player, speak with the player, befriend the player. Do you think the player gets a third life and that Strelitzia finally gets that moment? Or alternatively, do you think I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I've been sick the last week, so I appreciate everybody sticking with me. If you stuck it out this long, I appreciate it. But anyway, alternatively, on top of, do you think Strelitzia will meet up with the player's third life, or do you think Sora could be the player's third life, just without the memory, and that's why Strelitzia and Sora sort of had this encounter? Like, how do you play into that? Do you think Strelitzia and the player will ever meet, or do you think that was just a one-off idea from Union Cross?
So from how it looks right now, I definitely wouldn't be surprised if Sora was in fact player's third life, just because of how we've kind of seen, or possibly fourth life depending, but just of how we've kind of seen how player is in the game and has been in the games of Union Cross, and will likely be in the game of Missing Link. Like, player, because when we played Union Cross, we were controlling player. Everything was through their perspective. So for us to start Kingdom Hearts 1 as Sora, that kind of lends, you know, to reason that, like, this might be player's third, I would say third life. I'll give it third life. Especially because when you kind of look at the time, player in their second life passes on when Xehanort is basically kind of in that preteen, teenage age. So when Xehanort is about 70-ish, is when, you know, we see Sora as a young kid. So I feel like by that time, that probably would have cycled through at least player's third life. So going back to your question of whether there's this connection between Strelitz and Sora because she had that longing to meet with player, I think there might be something there, especially even if the Strelitz that we see is kind of the data version from her memories, that memory in particular of her longing for player might be what keeps her in proximity to Sora, especially if it does turn out that player's heart is basically their third life and is basically reincarnated as Sora at this point. So, yeah, I can definitely see that connection happening. That's probably the reason that, you know, she probably is watching over him as whenever he was found and as he was sleeping. And once he wakes up, she's kind of acting as his guide.
Yeah, it would be an interesting turn of fate if they eventually did meet in the afterlife of all places. But yeah, look, we're coming up on 1 hour now. I have to ask, because I did see the chat blowing up about it. You know, your cat was crawling around behind you earlier. What's your kitty's name? I saw some curiosity for it, so I want to appease the chat.
So my cat's name is Cinnamon, and he's not always in the kennel. It's just that whenever I stream or, you know, am on camera, he has to go to the kennel. Otherwise, he would be in the chat himself typing.
He'll start typing on the keyboard.
Yeah.
I hear you. All right, let's see what the chat is musing about. No pun intended. I swear, never mind. Anyway. Kevin Barrow says, okay, hear me out. Lushu kills Ava, keeps her heart, gets Strelitzia with the white robe, and send them and Ava's heart to Unreality. Once there, they use her data from the black box to make her body put a vein in there? You lost me at the end. to clarify that ending there. M.A. Loves your cat Cinnamon, in all caps. Mike B says, maybe Xehanort's line, you make me think of an old friend, is actually about the player and not Ericus. You know, Kingdom Hearts loves their double meanings.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I could definitely see that. Put Ava in there. Okay, so use her data from the black box to make her body put Ava in there. Okay.
Which is interesting because we actually didn't touch on the black box, and it's mainly because I am still trying to figure out what's in there. I know. Yeah, it's like I feel like there's some form of data. I just don't know what type of data is in there. But yeah, that's an interesting theory for sure.
Mm-hmm. The Mills Memoir, who's referring to me as Landy San, I kind of like that, says, Landy, consider the basis of the mystery we know. Digital people can be recompleted as the person they once were in life. So you must look at the equation to figure out where the pieces are. Okay, so what that makes me think is maybe Ava flew the dandelions into a data world and the master could sort of use that data to recomplete them in unreality or reality. That's kind of where my head goes. How about you?
That's kind of where I was going with that, and that's why I feel like Quadratum for some reason is that testing ground, you know, for what the Master has planned as far as recompletion of the dandelions.
We got a message from Just the Waffle who says, for Empower Muse, I really like the Can He Return Home video explaining of Sora coming home. Yeah, it's another video of yours that I recommend people check out. I think the title is Can He Return Home or Can Sora Return Home?
That's the title of the thumbnail. I think the title was like, Sora won't be able to return home until this happens or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. But it was something that, you know, I worked on pretty early, but I was just kind of really interested in because I feel like that's kind of a means to an end in the Lost Master arc. I don't know if we'll get that answer in Kingdom Hearts 4, But it'll probably be further down the line. I feel like some sacrifice or something has to be done before he can return home. Which kind of ties into Elixir theory. Of why he gave him that that wild card at the end. But yeah.
Game Changer says, wait, hang on. If a replica can be made into a person, can a data copy be made into a whole person? I mean, I don't see why not, right? I don't see anything there that would, like, negate the lore in any way. I think that's possible. Cameron Barrow says, wait, if it's Data Strelitzia but remade to fit a purpose, like how Tron was remade to be Rinsler. Ooh, there's some Disney World foreshadowing. We know there's plenty of that going on. Wow, I never even thought of it like that. Wow. Okay, let's scroll up a little bit here. The Mills memoir again says, telling you, her digital body that had been reformed in the real world and then shipped to Quadratum to reclaim the missing piece of her heart. That goes a little bit over my head. The Mills, if you want to expand on that. Oh, I think there's a message before. Okay, right here. They took a copy of her body out of the digital world and sent her to Quadratum to find her heart to recomplete her. Oh, okay. So they took her, a copy of her out of the data realm, put her in Quadratum to kind of pull her heart from the final world into the body. I think that's what they're getting at. Okay. See what else we got. MA says, I guess they could grow, if they grow a heart, Data Sora grew a heart. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the line they say, like, any Sora is still Sora. So even the data versions of themselves are still themselves. See? The Master of Masters is here. Says the Master just wants to take the dandelions to Disney World after feeling bad about what he did to them. Oh, take him to Disney Town. Him and two grown-ups.
Going back to that growing a heart theory, we actually see that in 358 over 2 days, right? Because Shion was, like, kind of compiled from just a lot of Sora. Sora's memories of Kairi. But over time, she basically grew her own heart and became her own person. Granted, she did go back at the end of days, but when we see her return, it's not just a holding vessel for Sora's memories of Kairi. It's Shion the person. So I do think that there's a possibility that, you know, that they're probably growing hearts and are hoping that, whether it be Strelitzia or another dandelion, that they're hoping they grow their heart.
Yeah, I could see it playing out that way, and I think we have a comment here that kind of builds on that. Kevin says, like how Xemnas said, data can be broken, data can be reshaped, data can be copied. With its Data Strelitzia, she'd be reshaped perfectly to the Master's plan. Ooh, that's scary. That's scary, man. Oh, can you imagine? Could you imagine Lorium's reaction to that?
Oh, that might break him.
Yeah, and you know, he needs a motive other than just rescuing his sister. I'd like it if they took him wanting to rescue his sister and use that as a way to make it, okay, I not only want to rescue my sister, I want to take out that bastard, the Master of Masters, who's toying with my sister. Yeah, that's cool. I like that. Okay, Ahmed says, how long do you both think the Lost Masters arc will take? And do you think there will be another arc after this? You wanna go first?
Yeah, because I actually did a video on that as well. So I said that. So we got Kingdom Hearts 4. We very likely got Verum Rex. I do think that it'll probably be one or two more games in the Lost Master arc for a total of 3 or 4 games in the Lost Master arc. Because this arc is gonna feel, I can already tell it's gonna be like darker, probably more emotionally heavy, just with everything we got in place, and because it feels very much like the Master of Masters in game. It might not be that way, it just kind of feels that way. that, you know, it's kind of hard to see whether or not another arc will be made after this. I would be surprised if a third arc is made, and the third arc might be the final arc. But, you know, just keeping the Director Nomura's words in mind that, like, he can't see the series going forward without Sora. So, I feel like this arc will probably be heavier. Some sacrifice is going to be made somewhere. We did see Sora basically sacrifice himself in the Dark Seeker saga, but this one just feels different because the stakes are higher, because Sora is no longer in the realm of light. So, you know, that question of whether or not, going back to the question of whether or not he'll return home, he probably will, but at what cost? And so I think that's what's going to be explored, along with the Master of Masters and the Foretellers in this Lost Master arc. I would love to see a third arc. I would just be surprised if we did get a third arc. And if we do get a third arc, my hunch is that it will be the final arc of Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, I'm going to echo that sentiment right there. You know, I pulled up that old image they dropped back in the day. There was like Kingdom Hearts second phase, and it sort of laid out, you know, columns for each release. And that starts with Kingdom Hearts 3. Then you have Dark Road. Then you have Melody of Memory. And then you have these things that run along the bottom. I think that's going to be where Missing Link is. So it looks like they have two more big releases here. I think, you know, that's what's confusing, is I don't know if second phase means the same thing as Lost Masters arc. Yeah. I think there will be three phases. But I think the Lost Masters arc is going to be the final one. That's what I think, because I don't know how you go above Master of Masters. Okay, you beat Master of Masters. Now what is there? Like, I think there will be a third phase. I think the series is going to go on for well over more than a decade. But I do think there is an ending. You know, whether Disney Square Enix continues it from there, who knows? But Nomura is a mortal soul. He's not going to be here forever. So I don't think second phase is the end. But I think whatever arc involves the Master of Masters, be it the Lost Masters arc, or if there's going to be an arc after that, I'll say this. I think the series stops. I think the series ends with the Master of Masters being defeated, confronted, whatever it may be. So, again, maybe the Master of Masters goes beyond the Lost Masters arc, but I will say, I think the ending is closer than we think. I'll say that.
Yeah.
And I think, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think, honestly, like, even though, like, we kind of make it into a joke, but I think that's one of the main reasons why we don't even know the Master of Masters name yet, because, like, obviously the prevailing theory out there, or out of the theories out there, that, you know, Sora might be the Master of Masters, and it was just Sora living out his life and trying to change the trajectory of it, and not dealing with whatever loss he faced back in the day. So that's one of the theories out there. But I do think there's a reason that we don't know the Master of Masters name yet. Like, we knew Xehanort's name pretty early. Even though we first knew him as Ansem, Secret of Darkness, we still had a name for him. The fact that we don't even have a placeholder name for the Master of Masters outside of Master of Masters is telling me that there's something in that end game of whether we confront him or, you know, defeat him, or honestly just figure out his identity. There's something there that is giving, is very much giving end game to me, which is, you know, kind of why I agree with you, and why I said, like, I would be highly surprised if we get a third arc, because Lost Master arc just feels like, you know, the stakes have changed.
Yeah, and that everything is kind of coming to a head. You know what I mean? And again, just to reiterate, like, I don't think Square Enix and Disney are just going to let Kingdom Hearts go. But I think this era that we know of Nomura, Sora, Riku, Kairi, all that, I think that's going to have an ending. And then maybe when Nomura retires or something, Square Enix and Disney will take it in a new direction. Probably tell a story like 100,000 years in the future or 100,000 years in the past. Something that's like disconnected enough that they can keep the series going without having to tamper with the story we all know and love. But again, we have to consider that, you know, Nomura's not immortal. He's up there in age. I'm sure that what we're building towards here is an ending. Strider Ryuki on Twitch says, both Landy and Muse do amazing work with Kingdom Hearts content. Well, thank you. And they follow up with, Missing Link may be the story he is telling to the other foretellers to bring them up to speed on what him and the Dandelions discovered while the no-name Keyblade was watching during that time. Do you mean Lushu? Maybe. Like, maybe that's what he meant by, I hope you like long stories, and he's sort of kicking it off with Missing Link?
That would actually make so much more sense, actually.
Yeah. I like that. Let's see. Stilett says, they introduce Ralph Breaks the Internet. They do not have an ending planned. Oh, Lord. Kevin says, what if the final battle is the Master sacrificing himself to give the true darkness a form, and then Sora kills it effectively? Yeah, that would be something cool, too, if the Master's, like, in a sense, like, breeding Sora and, like, the Guardians to be like, you're gonna do it. You're gonna, like, you know, if he was a villain in a different way, you know what I mean? I think that could be cool. MA says, well, the meaning of an arc in a story is the development or resolution of the narrative or principal theme. Yeah, that's what I mean. You don't call it an arc unless you have a resolution or an ending in mind.
Yeah.
So again, I think we're getting there. It's not for a while because, you know, we know they want to make Varum Rex and all stuff like that. So yeah, I think we still got time. Let's see. Master of Masters says, I think it's 20 games for the Lost Masters arc. 7 number game and 13 side games. Don't do that. Don't do that to me. Oh, Lord. Okay. Game Changer says, Sora as an old man in the ending cutscene of all Kingdom Hearts turns and says, I hope you like long stories. Looks at the camera. Okay. I could vibe with that. Okay, Just the Waffles back says, for Empowered Muse, I like the video of this is why Sora is not the Master of Masters. You made a video on that?
I did. I
like
actually
that,
went against.
I don't think he is, but if you want to maybe give a Spark Notes version of that.
Yeah, so I went against what the masters were saying at the time, but yeah, so if I remember correctly, it's been a minute since I made the video, but if I remember correctly, I was saying that because the master, honestly, I was just looking at their personalities. The Master and Masters in Sora are like vastly different. Whether, even if you account for Sora's maturation, it still doesn't quite make sense. Because in order for Sora to be as calculated, as cunning, as just like playing 8D chess as the Master of Masters, he would have had to go through just like way more than what we saw in Dark Seeker Saga. So that would have had to involve like a super profound loss of maybe Kairi permanently, Riku permanently, both of them permanently. So I just don't see Sora being the Master of Masters unless, you know, something that drastic happened. Sora is also like a very selfless person. Like he didn't hesitate to go save his friends and break nature taboos. He told Chirithi, like, I don't care. I'm going to do whatever it takes to, you know, get, well, when you're speaking of time, to get Kairi back. But it still translated to, like, any of his friends, any of the Guardians of Light, like, he didn't care that it might put him at risk. Whereas the Master of Masters was very self-preserving. And not that, you know, he wouldn't have sacrificed himself, per se, but that scene, the scene that sticks out to me in Kingdom Hearts Union Cross is when the Master of Masters was explaining to Lushu how the foretellers, which are his apprentices, have peace. He's using them as vessels to, you know, hold the true darkness inside. I don't think that would be something that Sora would ever gel with. Like, it wouldn't make sense for Sora to like to just be like, okay, I'm gonna host the true darknesses inside the rest of you Guardians of Light. Don't let your feelings get in the way. That's not something Sora would do to me. So, that's why I kind of went against it, the prevailing theory, and was like, I don't think Sora's a Master of Masters. I think it's somebody else. I still think it's somebody else. But yeah, just looking at them and kind of doing that character analysis, like, it just doesn't line up. Like I said, Sora would have to have suffered, like, profound loss, like, unimaginable. Basically, what happened at the Keyblade graveyard just made permanently. So,
yeah, I've never bought into the idea that Sora could be the Master of Masters. I don't think it's going to be the case for pretty much every reason that you outlined there. I got to run to the little Kingdom Hearts room. Do you want to hold it down with the chat, or do you want me to just put on a Be Right Back screen? Choice is yours.
Let's do a Be Right Back. I got to take a drink of water.
Perfect. All right, we'll be right back, everybody, and then we'll get to more of the chat's messages. But we'll be right back. And we are back. Thank you for bearing with us there. Let's get caught up with you sickos, see what we're saying. Everybody knows that when I go to the bathroom, that means my dog is coming. Okay. Game Changer says, I mean, the player is clearly not us. They're their own character. They're, in the long run, a special character like the Skyrim NPCs who can't die. That caught me off guard there. MA says, Sora as the Master of Masters is easy to debunk. Master of Masters said he didn't have a master, and Sora has Yen Sid. Okay. There you go. Yep. Throw that up on the list. Ahmed says, I'm honestly worried about what the Master of Masters' name will be. It better not be something like Steve.
It would definitely be something like Steve.
I honestly wouldn't even be mad. Okay, Kevin says, the voice actor of Young Xehanort actually knows the Master's name when he was in a recording. Oh, yeah, I know about this. He said that I know his name, but the name alone wouldn't lead to any great, like, reveal anything. Yeah, he also could just be saying that to placate his employer. So,
yeah.
A grain of salt. Although I will say Ben Diskin is the voice actor, and Ben Diskin actually did... give me a shout out on Twitter for being a crazy person, because he watched my episode after Dark Road came out and he clipped me talking about, like, unreality and reality. And he was like, nothing will make you sound crazier than talking about Kingdom Hearts out loud. Honestly made my day. Okay. If the Master of Masters is Sora, that means he would be connected to Lushu. Yeah, which would kind of ruin their whole relationship.
Yeah.
So I'm not really into that. Let's see. MA says, I have to go to sleep, guys. Good pod. Get a good rest. Get a good rest, M. Get a good rest. Sleep is the essence of life. Will's word. The good fairies gave Sora the new duds. They did. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but they did. Would you call Yen Sid Sora's master, says Will's word. I would. I just wouldn't say Sora's a good student.
Yeah, like, that's basically who he went to and tested on the Mark of Mastery for. So, technically, yeah, Yen Sid would be, you know, Sora's master. Like, not necessarily the best teachings or the best student, as you said, but... Especially because Jensen's market mastery was different from the ones we've seen in the past, even with Birth by Sleep. Mm-hmm. You know, Terra and Aqua did
it. If only Sora and Riku could have had it so easy.
Yeah.
Go over there, fight some floating abstractions, and we'll make up your mind. They had to go through dream worlds.
Just an interesting exam to go through sleeping worlds and try to, like, harness the power of waking. But, yeah.
Willsworth asks, what did Yen Sid teach him? I mean, that's a good question. Yen Sid never really gets out of his chair. I think probably the most important thing was when he gave him the Heartbinder at the beginning of Kingdom Hearts 3. Kind of letting Sora know what his real power is. Like, it's not just that his friends are his power. His ability to connect with others is his power. You know, I think that would probably be it.
And he serves more as a resource to, like, kind of detail, you know, what Heartless are, what Nobodies are, you know, what's Organization 13. So he was kind of serving as kind of a resource for that.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. Stilett says Yen Sid didn't want any more apprentices, but Sora and Riku were lacking a master, so he kind of had to come out of retirement. So, okay, so he's like this reluctant mentor. Kind of makes sense. Kind of makes sense. I do like that. That boy, Yasir, says Landilot, Xehanort being in Quadratum. Yeah, I think so. I think we haven't seen the end of Xehanort. I think young Xehanort is in Quadratum. Let's see. Sora gets his new clothes at Hot Topic.
Yeah.
Quadratum Hot Topic. You never know. You never know. All right. So we're pretty much caught up on the chat here. And was there anything in regards to Strelitzia that we talked about in the first hour that you maybe either wanted to reiterate or something we didn't get to touch on?
I think we did touch on it, but you know, my standing theory right now is that I do think she has some sort of connection, whether, you know, she's at risk or she's putting the Nameless Star at risk. She has some connection there with the Nameless Star, I feel like. Because it's still kind of that sticking point of, like, why can't the Nameless Star return home? Like, who would steal the Nameless Star's heart? So I think there's a connection there. You know, whether Strelitzia is an unwilling pawn or unwitting pawn for that, you know, kind of remains to be seen. But there's definitely something there that is interfering with the Nameless Star and is interfering with Yuzora. So, that'd be the only other thing I would add to what we talked about already.
Awesome. Awesome. Before we sign off, Stilett says, I just want to say thank you to M for coming through. Love finding new channels and to have diversity in the Kingdom Hearts community. Yeah, hey, listen, guys, this podcast isn't just for me to show up and just rant my ass off. You know, if I find someone out there who I think is got some good ideas or is a good YouTube channel, I'm going to bring them here, put them in front of you guys. So I went ahead and dropped her link in the chat. Make sure you subscribe to her channel, guys. She's got a lot of cool theories. One of the better creators in the community. Em, thank you for coming on. I appreciate you doing this. It was a great time. And thank you, everybody, for hanging out in the chat. And we're going to see you on the next one. Make sure you follow Em. All her links are in the description. Link is in the chat. There's no excuse. Em, thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me again. It was great chatting with you and, like, learning from everybody in the chat. So, yeah, definitely stay tuned. I got more theories to work on and release throughout the year.
Excellent. You don't want to miss it. Make sure you subscribe, everybody.